Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
Happy several days after council swearing in day.
Yes.
2 days.
Happy brisk November day.
Yeah.
Well, it's windy out there.
I know, but it's November. Yeah. We should be kind of okay with
winter is coming.
I know. My daughter found our blanket scarves last night. Oh. So I'm excited.
It's a sign.
Scarf weather. It's season for the scarf. I love it.
Yes, it's exciting.
And also, the day after the midterm elections.
Yes.
Down to the south.
Yes.
And so it wasn't the blue wave that lots of people were expecting. Uh-huh. But a few good things happened. The first
expectations are the source of all evil. It was a good turnout.
Yeah. What was the percentage?
So I think 100 plus million people voted. And in the last term election, only 60 million voted.
Oh.
The midterms aren't normally
a thing. Not a big excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the number of young people voting, mm-hmm. way up. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
And now there's first Muslim American woman.
Yeah, two of them.
To Congress. First Native American woman.
Yes.
To Congress.
And a Latino.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's very...
So not
not horrible.
No, of course not horrible. Significant.
Yes.
Yes.
So congratulations down south for...
Yes.
Even, I mean, I think they'll sort themselves out.
Well, just exercising your right. And
yes.
And that young 29-year-old is going to be a member of the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. youngest person ever.
At 29?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Geez, that's not that young. Like, wow.
Well, it is to be a representative in the House, because you need like crap loads of money, right, and tons of influence, because they're elected, if I understand properly, every 2 years, so they're almost always campaigning.
Ugh.
And so the ones who have been there forever have quite a significant war chest, and then Beto in Texas gave Ted Cruz a run for his money, and he did it with no super PAC funding and no PAC funding political activity committees or whatever.
Right.
He just did it $5 at a time.
Huh.
So, yeah. Things are changing. Things are changing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens now.
Well, another 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think people, you know, I think breaking a system will sometimes help, you know, mm-hmm. make a new, better system. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just, you know, there's pits and it's horrible. But in this case, you know, it's broken.
Yeah, and it's...
Their system is broken, and maybe it'll fix now.
Momentum and change, and is mm-hmm. it, you know, people say, well, we want change, but they're afraid of change. It's just mm-hmm. a constant. Yesterday, the town was different than it is today. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do have a topic for today.
Yeah, we do. And it does relate to politics. Right?
It does. We're talking about sponsorship.
Sponsorship. Except they don't call it sponsorship in
political
circles.
World.
They call it political donations.
Yeah. But we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about private money supporting public causes.
Public efforts.
Yeah. And we've been through a few exercises in the last couple of years that have brought a lot of information to us and has allowed me to understand sponsorship a mm-hmm. lot better, and also being able to offer different kinds of sponsorships now, mm-hmm. whereas it used to be
Give us money.
Yeah, it was straightforward.
Please, may I have some more?
Can I have money? I'll put your name on my thing.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's
I
don't think that's how it works anymore.
Not how it goes anymore. So I would love to talk about that. I can talk first about Arts Fest, though, because you were so wonderful about bringing Arts Fest to the community mm-hmm. and making sure that everybody knew about it
mm-hmm.
and got on board. So
all I had to do was ask.
Yeah. Well, that right? was, yeah, but it's doing the asking. None of us asked. You asked.
Well, we didn't ask until we knew. And once we knew, then we asked.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we'll put you on the list.
Yeah. And we got on that list.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. So last night was our AGM, the Arts Council's AGM. And Violet, our bookkeeper, did a wonderful financial presentation explaining all these things. And we had drops in all sorts of funding. We had, of course, drop in BC Arts Council funding because we didn't receive the performance award, which is...
ARG.
Yeah, I know. That was a tough one because, and nobody in the province did.
Oh,
like, it
wow.
was not just us.
So it's not, don't take it personally.
No, we didn't take it personally, but it was still kind of alarming. And of course, the endowment fund was way down because they chose to pay out 4% rather than 5%.
Okay.
So we were down 5,000 from the endowment fund. So she was explaining all these things that we were down, but then there's Arts Fest. And that was helpful because they came in, they said, okay, we're going to teach you how to do a better job. Yeah, if you're
really serious about this, right?
We're going to show you how to do a better job of getting sponsorships, and we're going to match the funds that you raise getting new sponsors or increased sponsorships.
Mm-hmm. If you reach your stated outcome, we will reward you with actual money.
Yeah.
Which is very motivating.
It certainly is.
And for a lot of groups, we're not up to that challenge for reasons, and not personal reasons, but just the structure of the organization, where they are in their life. They capacity. Couldn't quite make it work. So the ones who kind of passed the first threshold, I hope were successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we stated a goal of $5,000 mm-hmm. and we exceeded our goal.
See?
Yep. And what they told us is that they would guarantee if you succeeded in achieving your goal, they would match that amount. And then you basically would, you know, if you exceeded your goal, and if they had any money left over at the end of it, they would match that too. So we were very fortunate and they did. So
really?
We got $6,900 from Arts Fest.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yep. Which was huge.
Plus the $6,900
that we got in increased sponsorships. Yeah. So it took us it's almost a year. Mm-hmm. It was about 10 months.
It's hard work.
It was hard work. I spent so much time doing this, but it was worthwhile because not just because of the money, the one-time shot. It's great to have that money. It's great to have the extra, like now we have three or four more companies that are engaged in our organization that weren't engaged before, but it was about learning the core of sponsorship, why it's meaningful, why
exchange of value.
Yes.
Yes. What have we got that you need? What have you got that we need? How do we make this work?
And that it's a relationship.
And what I find with a lot of groups is they sort of sit at a table and go, okay, if you give, I don't know, like $1,000, I know, we'll call you a platinum sponsor.
Yeah.
And then if you give like a $750, we'll call you a gold sponsor and so on and so forth. And so then they come up with this package and they go out into the world, but they're not thinking about who they're going after.
No.
And they're just saying, would you like platinum, gold, silver, or bronze?
Yeah.
I don't want any of those things because I can't give you cash, but I could give you, you know, I have 15,000 Instagram followers, I have, you know, like, so really, I've always believed you have to tailor those packages to the people that you're, because your sponsors in a way are one of your customers, one of your user groups, right? Mm-hmm. And so you need to know what it is they need.
Yeah,
my view, anyway.
Well, and that's the sit down, talk to thing. And sometimes you can go to them with sort of a starting package saying, these are our levels. These are our needs in terms of cash. These are the different kinds of programs or performances or whatever that we offer. Let's talk about what you'd like to see happen.
How can we help you?
Yeah. And they will be happy to share the kinds of experiences they want, like themselves and their employees or whatever to have. Mm-hmm. And it's also about aligning your values and your, you know, like your, what's that, your image and everything to make sure that you're complementing each other rather than.
Whether your organization aligns with that business's corporate social responsibility goals, because most businesses worth their weight in, you know, have a corporate social responsibility policy of some kind.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they only support kids sports. Maybe they only support poverty reduction. Maybe they only support food security. Yeah. Right. So firms need to be clear on what it is they're trying to accomplish in terms of social responsibility. And if they don't do that, then they end up kind of splitting their winnings all over and they don't really stand for anything.
Right. And then they'll get 100 requests a day on their desk from different organizations wanting different levels of everything and promising different, you know, products.
And it's just so random.
It's too much.
It's really a randomness error. They might feel good about giving the money, but does it help them meet their goals?
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And so sitting down and having that conversation will help you with that. Do your research first, right? Like check out, because some of those companies, some corporations have very specific goals for a reason.
Yeah. And some of them have their own foundations for that reason.
Yeah.
Like we don't give money, but you can apply to our foundation.
Yeah.
And the bigger you are, the more likely. CN has a foundation. Mm-hmm. CP has a foundation. And just because we're a small city doesn't mean we're not on P people's radar, like Hydro and TELUS. TELUS has a foundation. Yeah. You just have to know what their foundation is about.
Yeah.
And if your goals align, giddy up.
Yep.
You know, that's what it's for.
And sometimes it's very broad. Sometimes it'll say, you know, we give to sports and education and arts and culture. It's like, I fit in all of those.
Yeah.
But if you pick up the phone and have a conversation with somebody in their community development office, you'll know.
Yes.
You'll know right away.
Yeah,
and you don't have to go through.
Community liaison oftentimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think there's all these little pieces and parts of the pie that have to come together, and you just have to have a conversation with somebody.
It can't be a random, hey, why don't we send out an email?
Stop sending letters or emails as inquiries and requests, because it's useless. You have to build a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And you have to show that exchange of value.
Yeah.
You know?
And then after...
And every group, like TD has a certain focus. Environment and music seems to be TD's thing. RBC... Yeah. Is interested in arts and written arts and visual arts.
Right. They've got the big RBC prize.
Yeah, CIBC is more about women's health, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about the Run for the Cure, CIBC, right? BMO does a marathon, so they have, right? And so you have to work a little harder if they're bigger, because you're dealing with an office out of Calgary or Toronto, but you need to make the case that, listen, your customers live in this community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that angle, but there's also the local angle that even and Arts Fest was big on this too. They said that in order for these sponsorships to qualify for the matching funds, the company had to be local.
And it had to be new.
Yeah.
You couldn't just go back to the pool.
Right.
Can I have some more?
Yeah. And so if the head office of an organization was in Toronto, it didn't qualify.
Well, because Arts Fest wouldn't make sense for Arts Fest to spend public money trying to convince huge corporations who have foundations to give money.
Yeah.
This is really about building sustainability in local communities.
And I think that even though our corporate sponsors at the local level aren't the big money corporate sponsors, I think the relationships are so much more important, because you're building these long-term situations. Mm-hmm. You're not just a one-off for one thing. A lot of organizations in the arts offer annual events.
Yes.
So then you build a relationship where you can go back and forth and again and again and again, and have a building up of a relationship, right? Like you're building of this tie-in from their name to your experience.
Yeah.
So,
and it has to be meaningful. I think the WOW picnic was meaningful. I think it was a good partnership.
Yeah.
I think it would be a partnership that would duplicate for others too.
Exactly. Yeah. And it made sense for that sponsor, because they've been a longtime sponsor as a performance sponsor for WOW. And so it was just kind of even though it became something different, it wasn't any more money. Well, it was a little bit more money, but it didn't become something separate. Mm-hmm. It was more like an enhanced
integrated
sponsorship.
An enhancement of. Yeah. Excellent.
Identifying what their offerings were, identifying what our needs were, and being able to make something new happen. Mm-hmm. So that was a conversation. Mm-hmm.
And there are always limits. You know, you can't have everything.
Yeah.
You can't say, okay, fine, but then you have to light up my building with your building with my logo.
Yeah.
Right. So in the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about the ethics and constraints of, and challenges of sponsorship, especially, you know, in terms of sustainability. And there's never enough money, and there's never enough time.
Right. I think it's understood that public funds cannot be the single source of funds for the arts.
No. And in fact, you should have some, again, in a strategic plan, you should have some sort of ratio. Like if 50% of our funding comes from regular programming sponsorship, regular, you know, government funding, and 50% doesn't, it could be 70-30, it could be 60-40, it just depends. Can't be 100.
Yeah.
Is, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and most organizations have some earned revenue as well, fundraising and stuff that they do. But
it's the three-legged bench.
It is. And I think that would be a healthy sort of thing, is like a third, a third, a third. Mm-hmm. But I understand that is a shifting landscape all the time. I do want to say, though, that one of the really valuable things that we learned through Arts Fest, because the training was exceptional. Not only was the training really lovely, but they offered an opportunity to do this one-on-one mentorship thing, a phone call with somebody who is a superstar in the arts sector, who we got to choose from all these different people that had different experiences in different genres. And so the person,
theater people, visual arts people, museum people.
Yeah. Exactly. And I got a chance to talk to Mary Blaise, who was amazing. And I took like 3 pages of notes while I was on the phone with her. It was just crazy. And it was a lot about board involvement, how to get the board to be your sponsor feeder.
Yes. Right?
So there was a really interesting thing that she offered. She said that when you, like, your board is your ambassadors. They're out there in the world and they're feeding a funnel.
Okay.
For every 12 people that you start a relationship with, this funnels down through the, you know, all the gears into one corporate sponsor.
Okay.
So the board's role is to feed the funnel. They are to get people into this idea like, oh, I could be a corporate sponsor for something that you do. And it just kind of is a relationship that you build and build over time.
Or it could be a private sponsor because the gallery also has many private supporters.
Yeah.
Individual.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you get to this point and then there's what they call the ask. Mm-hmm. And that is where the work is. Mm-hmm. And the ask is where you're saying, how do we make this work for everybody? Mm-hmm. And it sounds daunting. Mm-hmm. It seems like that would be the thing that would scare a lot of people, having to ask for money. Mm-hmm. I don't like to ask for money.
No.
But the ask is really about enhancing your community, mm-hmm. right? It's like, how do we use these resources to help these resources?
Yeah, and if you do it right, they're flattered and they get value out of it. So, right?
And one of the things that is happening now is experience is trumping all name dropping. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about put my logo on your poster.
Right.
No.
And a lot of people aren't even using logos anymore.
No,
right?
It's
like,
true.
Like you said a couple of shows ago, logos are passé. Mm-hmm. So logo placement isn't necessarily the thing people are looking for. Name recognition is.
Yes.
But also some corporations are looking for an experience for themselves and their employees.
Yeah.
And so some of the crazy things that you can come up with now are things that are very valuable to some corporations, like,
because they're because they add value for the customer.
Yeah. So some examples are theater companies that offer like dinner on stage. Mm-hmm. So they'll do a you know, like a 5-course dinner on the set after the set's been done.
Oh my goodness.
But before the play starts. Yes. Some theater companies and also
so
film.
It's exclusive experiences.
Oh, totally exclusive experience. And like something nobody else gets to ever do kind of thing. And also some film, like small indie films and theater companies are offering walk-on parts to their sponsors. So they get this random experience where they get to be in a play or on a movie set and in the movie.
Or an executive producer credit. Or,
So something a little bit, you know.
For sure.
How else would you get to be like that? Maybe your inner actor when you were 12 years old and like never went down that road, but then you get to be one for 5 seconds.
Right.
I think that would be super
fun. A dream. Yeah. And I mean, Amex, American Express is probably the granddaddy of all.
Yeah.
If you have a certain level card, you get front of line
service. Yeah.
Right. So if you buy those tickets to that event, right. So they'll sponsor the Met and they'll sponsor the, as long as their members get front of the line service.
Right. And that's the thing too, is that there's
spreading
out the benefit.
And so it's not about the public. It's not about brand awareness. It's about their customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't care if they see the name on the poster. They just want to get in.
Yeah. Because the relationship is there and because people start to understand what it means to be a member of that particular group. Right.
Mm-hmm. Just like radio stations do backstage passes and meet the performer. And it's all about securing loyalty from your customer.
Yes.
It's not about attracting new customers.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, but generally it's about.
Well, it is because you learn about it from somebody. Oh, I got to do this thing. You're like, I don't want to do that thing. Mm-hmm. So we all want to have fun experiences.
Yeah. And I will only use my Black American Express card to buy tickets now. Ooh. Win, win, win.
That's right.
Right?
It's Black?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not in my world, but some people have that world. Good for them. Just they have more zeros than me. No problem.
This is fine.
Yeah.
It takes all kinds.
Yeah.
And then there's other benefits that are happening now too with corporations who have international offices.
Yes.
Are actually allowing some dance companies and music groups and everything to tour internationally because of their connections in those countries.
Yes.
So that is a benefit doesn't have, like, it's not just here's my check.
No, it's like collective impact. If you're doing this awesome thing and I have these awesome customers and I'm looking for loyalty. I'm looking for my customers to maybe spend 10% more or 20% more a year on me. And you give them that value that you're creating the loyalty. There's reciprocity. Like, we're pretty simple. If you have water and I have fire, we need each other. We're friends.
Yeah.
And we'll stick together. It's the same thing in the, and I would say sponsorship is not just business per se. It's also institution and government and utilities, foundations. Like, there are many organizations, churches, nonprofits. Everybody's looking for that exposure and to create those relationships. So we mustn't just narrow it down to like the top five.
Yeah. Right? And we have to talk about, I guess we have to relanguage ourselves. We have to find some new vocabulary because it's really about partnerships now instead of just sponsorships, right? Because we're equal in what we're offering.
Yes. How can I help you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how can we help each other? Yes. We have to think about it as this equal relationship. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's always this handout kind of feeling.
No, like, it's all about exchange of value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here's another interesting one. So some corporations are skipping the institution and going directly to the artist.
Yeah.
So Rolls-Royce is a good example. They are directly commissioning artworks so because they are seeing something that has caught their attention and they want to be connected with it. They are trying to get to younger audiences.
Yes.
So they have identified this group of filmmakers that are doing spectacular work. They have now directly commissioned three films from this group and they're just, you know.
Yeah. And so the line starts to get a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about ethics. But, you know, Holt Renfrew did that too. They turned their flagship store into an art gallery in partnership with the Art Gallery of Ontario, but they could have just done their own thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that's the thing too, is sometimes they could, but would it be as effective or successful or professional if they had, because it's not their thing, right? Not necessarily. They know fashion, but do they know how to put on
curate an art show?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they could hire someone, but they were probably trying to connect to the demographic of the Ontario Art Gallery.
Yeah. Well, it's like any partnership, right?
Or
like
the gallery. What is it? The Art Gallery. AGO, Art Gallery of Ontario.
Right.
Which is, they have some pretty good, a pretty good demographic. Some well-heeled patrons. Some.
So you've just doubled your population.
Influencers. Early adopters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so we sometimes discount the value of our own demographic as an institution. Like the gallery has a phenomenal demographic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Early adopters, innovators, right?
Yeah. So if you
some pretty choice postal codes, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so even in our little community,
yes.
like with our, you know, we have 200 and something odd members. If you actually broke all that down and think about how many innovators and early adopters we have in our membership.
They're all there.
They're there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got that same thing happening, right? A small business could partner with us and we all of a sudden have that. Those 200 people.
Yeah, I mean, so you have to kind of think about, just imagine all of your people in the room and you look at them and you think, okay, who wants to talk to these people? Financial advisors, right?
Right, yeah.
Realtors, builders, renovators, people who sell high-end furniture, people who sell high-end, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's people who sell bicycles, people who sell running shoes, people who sell. You just have to kind of visually put those people in a room and see what else they're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily just groceries.
Well, no.
Right?
Yeah. And we've got, I mean, I just think we've got such a diverse offering in terms of the corp. Like, we just are really a diverse community with businesses, don't you think? Like, we've got everything. We've got tech and we've got manufacturing and we've got food and, I mean, it seems like we are an industry-less town, but
we're not an industry-less town.
Yeah, because maybe there's just multitudes of small industries.
Yeah. I think we're fairly diverse. I think that's the problem. Yeah. It'd be different if we were like a mill town or a mining town or a pulp town.
Then everybody would be relying on that one big corporate sponsor.
Which is
sponsor.
The old model.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in Northern Ontario. You were either a mill town, a railway town, a trapper town, or a pulp town.
Yeah.
And you could tell by the smell as you drove into town what kind of town you were, right? So, but that model doesn't work anymore.
No.
No. In fact, it fails pretty epically on occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the whole town goes down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're in a really good position because we have this diverse foundation.
Yeah. A 7- or 8-legged bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody's going to knock us down.
No.
But it also means that we've got a great opportunity to partner with lots of different kinds of businesses.
And so you might think, well, what is the connection between a tech company in the industrial park and the theater? Mm-hmm. What, you know, you have to draw that line. You have to figure it out. And there's probably a lot of connections. Creativity, right?
Yeah.
Experience, interest,
creative people, problem solving,
right? And so how do you make that connection?
Yeah. And also, sorry, I'm jumping right ahead a little
bit.
Jump ahead. Stewardship, I just want to point out before we get into ethics parts, because that's a whole different conversation. Stewardship is so important, and that means that the relationship continues on after the sponsorship. So one of the things that we learned through Arts Fest is how to make an interesting after experience. So we created a sponsorship report.
Okay.
And it's a little document that just shows what they did.
Yeah. So what you're saying is don't take the money and run.
Yeah.
Make sure you follow up and say, and as a result of this.
Yeah. And that there's a hard copy of this thing. Like, you can say thank you after, and maybe they get a mug or something, but no, you've got to give them some, okay, here's your impact. Mm-hmm. You, like, 280 people came for this one tour. Mm-hmm. 1,700 people saw that exhibition. Mm-hmm. 400 families came to family, like, right? Like, we want to make sure that you know your impact.
Yes. And, or we tagged you on our Facebook post and 68 people liked it.
Right.
Right.
And there's 177 views of that video. And I think all of those things have to be communicated in some way. And they also want to be communicated to more than one person within the business.
Yes.
Not just one guy that gets the email.
No.
And so
really it's about doing the work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you do have to, that is extra work. Mm-hmm. I must say, doing the sponsorship reports after the fact is like, oh, okay, now I got to start collecting photos and getting the stats and getting it all together, which is really integral, right? Like, we keep stats anyway, but now it's about pulling them all together, making them look.
And you need to build that into the ask.
Yes.
Yes. And the ones who are really good at it are really good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And it's kind of.
And same thing for advertising, right? Like, we tend to give our advertising money, but we don't necessarily get the follow up or the exchange of value, right? So it's all about the sell. It's not about the after sales.
Yeah.
And, I teach professional sales at the college now, and we know that the after sale piece is almost as important as the sale piece.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're understanding much more about that.
Yeah. And it is a sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're selling experience.
And a sale is about exchange of value.
Yes. Keep remembering that phrase.
Yeah.
Except that now we're going to dig into the dirty.
Well, yeah.
Underbelly.
Well, because in every decision, there are consequences.
Yeah.
And there's the matter of bias and ethics.
Yes.
And everything, especially in sponsorship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough because there's money involved. Mm-hmm. And you have to be careful, just like in politics, you have to be careful who you take money from, because does it clash with your values? Mm-hmm. And then there's always going to be fallout if it does.
Right.
People find out, because one of the things about arts organizations and all NPOs is that they are open to the public.
Yeah.
You've got to disclose everything that you do. Mm-hmm. You have to account to, the world. You have to be able to say, this is what money we got. This is who we got it from. This is what we did with it.
Yeah. And if you think about, I think the biggest ground shift in that was when the government of Canada banned tobacco sponsorships of events.
Right. Philip Morris
probably events was that, a big... that they sponsored, like, we'll sponsor you, but you can't.
Yeah.
Right. And so, it used to be the Du Maurier Festival of everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
And in the States, was Philip Morris was basically responsible for music and dance in the entire States for so many years. So, yeah, it did become a thing that people, the public itself, also started to fight against and protest some of the tobacco
for
companies.
Sure. And that was super disruptive.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of money there.
Yeah.
So how do you replace that? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was a transition time, but it might be the same thing with alcohol or cannabis or, right?
Yeah.
So these are big money industries.
Yeah.
And they've been choked off from their typical sponsorship opportunities. So what happens next, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in a way, I mean, that the tobacco one happened because, I mean, there's really...
Oh, because the public health cost of tobacco far exceeds, you know, anything they can give or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah,
it was the a clash of values. For this net loss, you know, for society, but, you know, like we tend to privatize gain and socialize loss, right? So
yeah,
they might be privatizing a lot of gains, but we were socializing a lot of losses.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a problem.
Yeah.
And also advertising it to kids.
Yes. Or there are no cigarette ads anymore. Yeah. And there's not a lot of liquor ads. Like there's beer ads, but I know in the magazine business, you couldn't advertise hard alcohol for a while. Hmm. Now it's different, but
yeah.
Yeah. As alcohol becomes more mainstream and the messaging is about moderation but for a long time, certain magazines could not run ads, booze ads.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting. One of the big things right now is oil.
Oil.
Oil is...
Well, they're privatizing gains.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oil companies who are sponsoring are seeing some serious backlash because members or the supporters of organizations receiving oil money are starting to kick back and say... Not kick back. They're starting to fight back and say, look, if you've... Like the Tate Museum is a really good example in London. Signed on to the climate change campaign 1010, which is to reduce their carbon emissions. Also taking sponsorship money from BP, one of the largest carbon dioxide emitters in the world. Mm-hmm. So people were protesting.
Well, it's a values conflict, right?
Yeah.
And people recognize, wait a minute, something doesn't match. Yeah. And value conflicts are good because they create conversation. Mm-hmm. But boards need to be pretty clear on this is our mission, this is our vision, these are our values.
Yes.
Right? And so they can't talk out of both sides of their mouth. They need to, right? And so I don't know, I would be interesting to be a fly on the wall in that boardroom when they made that call.
Mm-hmm. Or did they just get persuaded, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You can get, like, somebody can convince you of anything these days, right? They can give you all the other facts, the alternate facts to support their argument. And you sit there and you go, oh, okay. And until you've had some time with some clarity and your own research, you can't make a good decision.
No.
But I can actually imagine sitting there in a room with oil executives saying, but you'll be able to do this, you'll be able to do that. And finally your dream of this will come true.
The children.
And and I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm sure
the idea did not execute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just that it's hard to say no, thank you, but you do have to stay true to your core because your people will know and they will keep you true to your core.
Yeah, because your values are their values.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why they belong to you. That's why they belong to your community is because they've chosen you. Mm-hmm. They've said, those guys have values that I want to have reflected in my life. And I'm going to choose to be part of that community. So you are responsible to your members as well as the whole, you know, your general sort of audience. And stuff.
So sometimes the strategies don't line up.
No.
And I want to be careful to say it's not good guy, like evil versus good. It's just they did not align the strategies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's been lots, actually, because oil has been pretty big all over the world, big sponsors in lots of cultural industries.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing right now, and I don't know if people know this, I heard it on CBC, the Saudi royalty invests heavily in high tech in Silicon Valley, like heavily, like bazillions of dollars.
Wow.
And so... That's why it's where it is, and that's why it can do what it does, because it can get that money and those amounts from Saudi royalty, who is interested in divesting, not divesting out of oil, but, I don't know, creating more variety, you know, reformatting their economy so it's not strictly oil.
Yeah.
So one of their strategies is to invest in tech, and they invest in Silicon Valley. But now, because of the killing of the journalist, the tech companies are starting to say, okay, should I take the money? Knowing that there's nowhere else they can get that kind of money.
Yeah.
Right? So as the Saudis try to diversify their economy, Now they've got this huge ethical issue, and some firms will absolutely take it, and some firms won't. But guess what? You can't compete. Yeah. And there's no other industry that can provide that kind of cash.
No, actually, that's true. Mm-hmm. I was just trying. I'm sorry. I was trying to look it up.
Especially in Saudi Arabia, where the oil comes out like water out of a tap.
Yeah. You know? Gosh.
Our oil is different. It takes more work.
It does. I was trying to look up the different kinds of protests that we've seen because they're creative. I just wanted to point out how creative.
Well, you arts patrons usually are.
We do, but there's been some fun ones. And the Science Museum in the UK also was the subject of a protest where 50,000 snowflakes were dumped on it. I'm trying to look it up. I'm sorry. I wish I could get the...
I wonder what they were after there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Tate, it was a sit-in. They had a sit-in there to protest the BP oil sponsorship. And it's just, you know, they're all over the world. The members are coming out and doing actual physical protests and oil slicks.
And if that doesn't prove that the audience matters, right?
Yeah. Art, not oil. So there's an Art, not oil blog.
Oh, yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah. And so they're trying to make sure that there's awareness of which art organizations are receiving oil company money. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's been their, the goal of this coalition.
Yeah. And they're looking to provide clarity around the question.
Yeah.
Because we don't often know.
Okay, here we go. So 40,000 snowflakes were dramatically dropped at the entrance of the Science Museum. And each snowflake represents a signature to a petition against oil sponsorship. So the gallery sponsor is Stat Oil. Hmm. And it recently announced a major new Arctic exploration project, drilling for oil that scientists tell us must stay in the ground.
Yes.
And so this coalition drew a lot of attention to that particular issue by doing this huge petition and then dropping the snowflakes. So, yeah, fun.
But there is, I just think that, like, it's a values clash. But there are times, and you might push back on this, where an oil company and a Museum of Natural History might align.
Okay.
Okay. And so say...
Prove that point.
Okay. So say, for example, we know in the oil sand, the land itself is leased from the government of Alberta. Mm-hmm. And they have a 50-year lease. At the end of the 50 years, they have to give it back exactly the way they found it. Same birds, same trees, same wildlife, same everything. So the oil companies have scientists who literally take all the DNA footprint of everything that was there, keep it, and then as the lease expires, recreate that bioregion with buffalo and songbirds. And it's a thing. I've seen it myself. I've seen buffalo in a refurbished former site, right? And so the science behind that, I think, is fascinating. How do you recreate barren landscape? What does that look like?
Yeah,
is the science involved? We could argue that they shouldn't have done it in the first place. And I give you that, no problem. But I'm just saying, from a natural history perspective, it would be really interesting to know what that research is like to keep the DNA of, right? So to suggest there's nothing at all that has value, I don't think is fair. I think it's about aligning what those values are. We might not agree on this, but this thing we can agree on. Right?
Okay. I'll give you that.
Okay.
However.
Yes.
I mean.
But whether it's oil or any kind of mining or any kind of, like, oil companies lead the world in water treatment. Right? Because for them, water is a key component to their production. And so if you want expertise on water treatment, your best friend is an oil company because they're so much further ahead than municipalities. Than it's true.
Really?
Yes, really.
I'm giving you the look.
I know. I'm not kidding you. There's tech, like, so if you look at the tech piece or you look at the science piece or you look, so as I say, I don't want to argue about, I get it. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. If yeah, we because just left it the way it
because
was.
Because there is no returning to that original thing. There is no return.
Well, there,
you can't get there.
But
you can
there
bring
is
some bison back and you yes. can bring some songbirds back, but you will never
undo the carbon output.
Yes. No. You'll yes. never you'll never be able to undo the consequence of removing that oil from the ground. Mm-hmm. It's there for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's the lifeblood of the planet. Mm-hmm. We really do need to keep it there. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about extracting more oil in the last 50 years and the next 50 years than what the entire planet would use
anyway. And so,
no, I mean, yeah, but I mean like this tiny little piece of time, yes. we are changing the planet in, you know, when we're only a speck.
Absolutely.
And so the time part for me, like, I feel like, why is everybody in such a hurry to get this stuff out of the ground, sell it for money, mm-hmm. which is gone like that. Mm-hmm. And then destroy humanity and all the other species in
for
the
what?
Process.
For money, yes.
For what?
For money.
And so why, like, it's a holistic kind of view. Yes. I understand that it's big and global and geological time we're talking about here, but it just doesn't make sense to have such an urgent priority mm-hmm. trump everything mm-hmm. and become the whole reason why we exist because mm-hmm. of the economy.
But again. Granted.
So, yeah.
But I'm just saying that if you can align on some level, that's where the opportunity is. Not like, give me money and I'll do whatever you want. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right?
So I can't see.
It's got to be, there has to be that middle ground.
Well, there's got to be the middle ground yeah. for the sponsorship. It's just that I can't see how.
I mean, that's the extreme example.
Companies who are actually, you know, changing the planet
yes.
should really be considered in alignment with any cultural goals.
But we're all, we're all changing the planet.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
Okay, now we have to take... this could go on and
it
on.
It could go on.
But we will take a break.
And now...
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, today's dramatic moment is that Louise and I disagree and we're fighting.
No, we're not. We disagree on lots of things. We don't fight. I think it just comes down to taking responsibility, like you said.
Well, you're a lot more knowledgeable in sort of how this works from a corporate standpoint.
There's layers to things, yeah. right?
And yeah. I'm coming from just an NPO sort of perspective.
No, don't say that. Just.
Well, it's mostly true. That's where my field of expertise lies,
but we're
right?
This ecosystem, right?
I know. And you have had the benefit of some of your years on council where you're learning about mm-hmm. all these other factors that I don't really have to learn about. Mm-hmm. I only have to worry about my little mm-hmm. world. So I get it.
I mean, I full disclosure, I have been to the oil sands.
Yeah.
I was sent on a tour. It was I thought it would be a whitewash, like, oh, we're awesome, we're doing this. But no, it was a very thoughtful, what are your questions? How can I help you? Go ahead and challenge me. I want to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Because, so my takeaway from that was there is a shared responsibility, but there's also information that doesn't necessarily make it out, you know?
Yeah. But also,
which
I respect what you say about we're all making those decisions.
We are all making those decisions every day.
We vote with our dollar. Mm-hmm. We're getting in our cars.
Yeah, and
if
you can't
we're not
just
buying
sort
an electric
of put your
car,
hand
then
up
you
and
just
say, talk to the hand.
Yeah.
Doesn't work, right?
Yep. No, yeah. And that's the thing about the partnership mm-hmm. idea, because as we vote with our dollar, if we're saying one thing, but we're doing something else,
yes.
that's a problem
yeah.
too. And that's why one of the things that I believe in maintaining these relationships with local sponsors is that we also support that business.
Yes.
And we can't be like, for instance, we wouldn't have, you know, like a shopping spree at... Okay, I'm sorry if I have to say,
no.
but we wouldn't go
at a super,
on a shopping at a super box store when we have our local stationery store being a sponsor,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
So we buy our stationery from that store.
Yeah. And it's,
so the partnership extends beyond mm-hmm. this little exchange of value mm-hmm. for an event or an exhibition or whatever. It is a long-term relationship that benefits all of us, mm-hmm. benefits our whole community.
Yeah, mutual benefit. There has to be a mutual benefit.
Of course.
And you hear those stories all the time. Like, well, I sponsored them and now they go and buy their stuff from that guy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
so,
we all know.
Yeah. It's about
small enough town.
Yeah.
That
it's
know.
Being thoughtful and it's aligning those values, mutual benefit, that sort of thing. But the other thing, I mean, I think the flip side of this conversation is that there are examples of NPOs and art galleries and environmental groups who have schooled major corporations by taking them on and engaging them mm-hmm. and asking to build partnerships.
Yeah.
Right?
For like, sure.
And, you know, the Port of Vancouver comes to mind. Port of Vancouver is a huge emitter. Of course it is. It's a city on an ocean where oil and gas and sulfur and metals and irons come in and out every day. But, you know, every train that comes by here is going to the Port of Vancouver. Right? Yeah. It takes over half the city. But because they're sort of operating from a place is where we're a part of this community, we have a role to play. It's not just about the money we make for the rest of you. It's also about what is our responsibility. And so they're taking steps. And maybe they're not enough, but it's also not enough to say, shut her down, boys. We're not doing that anymore. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
we couldn't, right?
No, we can't.
Yeah. Escalation of like commitment. That. Like we have to. I really feel like this is about transition, not about you're out, you're in.
Yeah. Right. But in this transition, mm-hmm. sponsorship is one of the ways where pressure is being put on these yes. corporations to change what they mm-hmm. do and how they do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the more awareness there is about what a corporation does and their sponsorship
yeah.
relationships, the better off we all yeah. are.
And I mean,
because we're holding them accountable.
For sure.
And I don't, that was something that we just said about public being yes. a public funded organization means you're accountable.
You have to
you're
be
wide open.
Accountable
corporations are not open.
No, they have to be accountable to their shareholders.
Well, yeah. exactly. Yeah. So
you
those
don't
shareholders
want to piss your shareholders off.
No, but the shareholders yeah. are the ones that are not working mm-hmm. for the money.
No.
They're getting all the money, but they're not working for the money.
Yeah.
And so all these workers are not getting the benefit, and all of these other situations like the taxes are lower, and so the government's not getting the benefit, mm-hmm. and so like the community's not getting mm-hmm. the benefit. Who's getting the benefits? The guys who are not doing the work.
Yeah. It's time ecosystem. For us. Well, guys who've put their money in.
Yeah. I know, but yeah. they're still not doing the work.
No.
And they're still the ones that are still waiting at the end of the year for their mm-hmm. for their handout or for their payout.
Well, their dividend, yeah.
But they're not the ones necessarily mm-hmm. that are holding the corporation accountable to goals on, say, climate change
no.
or cultural engagement or
no.
anything else, right?
No.
It's the members. Mm-hmm. It's the people who are the customers of the corporation. It's the members of the organization. So it's the people, the masses, mm-hmm. that end up being the ones who hold them accountable.
Yes.
So these protests and the people who are saying, hey, I just found out that this sponsor does this.
Yeah.
It is important to this relationship because they're the ones that are doing.
Yeah. And I mean,
holding
them shareholder revolts happen.
And yes, they do.
I mean, I don't know what happened at the Tate, but to my mind, I think if BP came out and said, okay, fair enough, we need to rectify this.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a huge opportunity.
There are oil companies.
Instead of retreating, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what they did, but.
Yeah. But there are oil companies that are moving their own research and investment
yes.
into renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the resources.
And have been for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those companies should be recognized.
Yes.
Those companies should be the sponsors that get the awareness out
yes.
there.
Yes.
Not the companies okay. that are still stuck in the extraction business.
Exactly. Yeah. I meet you there. That's all I've been trying to say is that there is movement. We just have to recognize it, right?
Our engineer is chuckling away yeah. there.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for spending your birthday with us.
Yeah. Early this morning just to come and be our
yeah, I know, right? Just to be on the radio, which is virtually emission free, I want to point out. But the dramatic moment.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So the iconic sales of the Sydney Opera House.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a photo. Everyone knows. Everyone
yeah.
has a picture in their mind.
Yeah.
They use it for an ad.
It's like a giant theater ad. Like
yeah.
when you see it, when you're
and
sitting there
the
waiting
ad
at,
for?
Eating your popcorn. For horse racing.
Horse racing. Oh. Because so, there's, well, we forget about that too. There's a lot of money in gambling.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know how much they got, but to me, like my stomach is just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But like I don't want to put a big crepe flag on top of the Eiffel Tower either.
Yeah.
Although at the Eiffel Tower you can drink overpriced champagne, which is sponsored by a champagne company. But at least you have to be up there.
Yeah.
It's not like it's all over the place.
But we've talked about this, about putting advertising on public art. That is like the most serious no-no. Don't do that. You don't put a sign.
Well, it's a value clash, This is a public piece of work,
yeah,
for private interests in exchange for money.
Yeah. Suddenly it becomes icky when it's that.
But, you know, the thing is, the horse racing company could have aligned a value with the Sydney Opera House. Maybe, as you say, an exclusive front row seat to a performance, right?
Or a walk-on part.
Yeah, so sometimes it's not intention so much as execution. Like, great partnership, great idea, lousy execution.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Talk to people about this idea.
Any more than you would put a poster board in a church. Like, there's just some
like
stuff
who came
sacred.
Up with this idea in a room without consulting with anybody else and anybody who thought, wait a minute, especially a cultural organization that's full of innovative thinkers. Mm-hmm. This is what they do. Mm-hmm. So how isolated can they be that they thought this was a good
idea? Well, I don't know. Maybe their board isn't diverse enough. Like, you know, I also teach organizational behavior at the college, and there's this... And we're studying how people make decisions and how groups make decisions. And there's this thing called groupthink, which you start to behave as a group. You know how a crowd is stupid and tries to get everybody through the smallest door? Like, it's just dumb. Crowds are stupid. It's been proven, actually, that they have a mentally lower capacity than an individual. So keep that in mind next time in a big crowd. And then there's this shift called group shift, which is worse than groupthink, which is where the group starts to take on more extreme positions and they are justified to do it because there is no personal accountability in the group.
Ugh.
Right? So when you see like super extreme attack ads and really petty, disturbing attack ads on social media and... that's group shift. So that's a group of people who work together for a common cause, who've convinced each other through bias and not no personal responsibility that it's okay to do this because they're going to get away with it because no one person will take the fall. It's scary, and it happens all the time. In fact, you could say groupthink and group shift is seriously one of the biggest threats to mankind.
Yes.
Right?
I'd say so.
Yeah. Anyway, so
certainly
where was I going
democracy.
With that? So... the way to do so, I think boards, both corporate and nonprofit, really need to think about how groups are formed. How big are they? Have you appointed one person to be the devil's advocate in all decision making? Right? Some groups, there's always a natural devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. But it's really important. And if there isn't one, you should say, you, Tracy, you're in charge of poking holes through this. Mm. Right? Make sure you have a leader who understands what it is to be neutral. Right?
Yeah.
And so all of these techniques you can use to be able to make efficient decisions, and including not making decisions based on a symptom of a problem, but making decisions based on the actual problem.
Yeah.
So maybe the symptom of the problem at the Sydney Opera House is we're short money for our budget this year. And so they fixed the symptom by taking the big money from the horse racing company when what they should have been doing is thinking about sustainability.
Yes, long-term sustainability.
Yeah. There. I said it.
You just fixed their problem.
I've never been to Sydney. I've never been to a horse race.
They just had the free Louise advice.
Well, no, but I mean, like, it always comes back to how was this decision made?
Yes. I'm sure they're hearing about it now.
Right? And what problem were you trying to fix?
Yeah.
Because wrong.
Yeah. And the optics of that is going to last for a long time. That's the problem, right? You make one mistake and it's going to be, it's going to come back and bite you again and again and again.
And it's brand damage. It really is. Yeah. Reputation
damage. For both
damage.
Of them.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so you have to think about this
when the
in
intention
advance.
Was probably, hey, let's work together. We'll get you some money and you can help us.
And do something different.
Yes.
You know, thought it was different enough to.
So clever. That's a good idea. No.
Always bring in somebody who just is not connected. Yeah. Not connected to you, not
connected
to the
company.
Yeah,
if you're at a table and everybody's like, oh, that's a great idea, let's do it. You should be thinking, wait a minute,
what
if it's not a
great
idea?
Go and find some teenager on the street that's walking by and say, hey.
Would you think it's a great idea?
Yeah. And also, if you think you're doing something to attract young audiences, bring in some young audiences and test it on them first.
Right.
Because sometimes they're like, that is so not interesting.
Assumptions and expectations.
Yes.
Beware. Anyway, we're getting close to the end.
And so we have, it's so interesting what we spent the whole show in a segue to thanking our sponsors.
Yes.
Don't you think that's funny?
Yes, funny.
So we have no value conflict with this sponsor.
No.
None.
And actually, and
our values are perfectly aligned.
Yes, they are, because DeMille's Farm Market, all about community. They support local producers.
Food security.
Yes.
Yes. And sustainability.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all about that.
Low emissions.
That's right.
Right? Except lots the cow, of pumpkins.
That one cow is a lot of emissions.
Know, yeah. And they're they're working on the Rogers Arena.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting. Yeah. That is a community connector.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so sponsorship is an opportunity to connect different communities or different segments of a community together.
Yeah.
And so DeMille's is a champion of knowing how to do that.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So thank you, Brad DeMille, and everyone out at DeMille's Farm Market for being our sponsor.
Yes.
And that's all for this week on Artscape. We'll see you next time, and happy sponsorship getting.
All right. Take care. Bye for now.